Continue our discussion of building lifelong zeal. Several people have already gone to Amazon.com and they found the book. They've ordered the books, and so we'll continue. It'll be 22 weeks that we'll be discussing this idea of having lifelong zeal. And really, the reason that we discuss this is because this is what God expects. This is what Jesus expects of us, not just that we would, for a short time, flame up and then go out. Jesus expects us to have lifelong zeal. Titus, the second chapter, at verse 14, well, let's see. Titus, the second chapter at verse 14. I thought I could read it from the screen here. He says that he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify him for himself, a people for his own possession. And then this description, zealous of good works. We need to maintain this kind of zeal in our lives. And tonight we're going to turn our attention to a figure that God uses so often to talk about Christians and to talk about the kind of life that he wants us to live. And it's a figure of fire. We're not going to talk too much tonight about the frequency with which God uses this metaphor of fire. If you're reading along in your books, those are listed in the right-hand column on the second page of lesson number two. So spend some time looking at that and thinking about it. But what I want to do is kind of lay out what will be the basis for our discussion of having lifelong zeal. We're going to talk about it in terms of three things. And those three things kind of come from the fire illustration. I think we all understand that fire only happens when you have three things. You have to have heat, you have to have fuel, and you have to have oxygen. And if you deprive the situation or the circumstance of any of those three, fire will go out. As long as we can maintain all three of those things, we can have a zeal that lasts. And we're going to talk about that, and what we're going to see is that God is the source of heat. He's the one who sustains us. Our character is the let's see it. Now I have to back up. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. Okay. God is heat. Our character is our fuel. And our oxygen is a pure environment. And if we can somehow maintain those three elements, then we'll be able to maintain a lifelong zeal. So let's talk a little bit about God as the ultimate heat source. If you were thinking about God as the heat source, you'd have to think about the book of Romans, because that's where God demonstrates that he is the one who provides the heat for our life. Can somebody read Romans 5, verses 6 through 11?
You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Okay. You know, the zeal can't be generated from within us. We have to have God if we're going to have zeal. And if the sad thing is that sometimes we think that we can generate the heat, and we can't. Yeah, Leslie.
Oh,
Just, oh, you were
sorry.
just bidding. Okay, I understand. Any thoughts, comments about God as the ultimate heat source? And of course, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 29, he says, our God is a consuming fire. He's fully capable of providing the heat to keep our zeal going. Yeah, Carol.
I think one of the problems that I have with this zeal is a lot of times people think about zeal as a hot fire that you're really involved in whatever. But when I look at Job, I'm not sure. I looked, glanced through, but I'm not sure that it ever mentions in Job that Job had a zeal for God. But he had a zeal for God. It was slow and steady, and he always made offerings for himself and for his kids and other people. And the same thing is sort of true with when Jesus was in the temple, was being and Simeon saw him for the first time. He had a zeal to go to the temple every day because God, he knew that the passion that he had, that God was going to that he would see the Christ before he died. And then it also mentions Anna the prophetess, who, after being a widow, was in the temple for years and years praying. And it doesn't say that, although she could have knitted and made blankets and everything else for the poor and whatever, but what it pointed out with both of them was they were dedicated to God. Their love to God was the most important thing to them in their life. And sometimes I think we think, well, he has a zeal because he's preaching or he's teaching or he's doing everything he can, sort of thing. And Jimmy Stewart was in the movie A Wonderful Life, and he had a friend who was upwardly mobile and made all of the money, and he told Jimmy Stewart, he says, I ran all the time to keep up with you, and you just took a nice long stride. You just walked through life, and I could barely keep up with you. And I think of Job when I think of that particular comment, so.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for a zeal that's not. I don't know if you've been camping. Most of us have been camping one time or another, and we're trying to cook. Now, you can get a really raging fire that's not very hot. And then you can get a small campfire that just burns hot. And it continues. And we want to be that kind of continuous heat. We want God to be our heat. Yeah.
It seems to me that we really need to know God and understand his love for us to be able to have that slow, continuous zeal, which would in turn build character and purity.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Sometimes when our faith grows weak, we start turning inward. And what we really should do is turn and look at God more closely. And the more closely you look at God, the more you have to be convinced that He loves us. He loves us beyond what we can imagine. Yeah, Bill.
You were reading my mind. I didn't even put up my hand yet. I was thinking of Ezekiel. No, excuse me, Elijah. When in the time of Ahab, Elijah felt he was the only one left that praised God, that knew the truth, and that stood for the truth. And he went away from society. He wanted to go and hide. He asked God to take his life. He had a zeal for God, but his zeal is not always active, doing what we think of as zealous. Sometimes it goes that far to say, I want to die because I'm the only one left.
Yeah, go ahead and kill me, God.
No one loves me. No one understands me. But our faith is not going anywhere. It's strong. It's alive. If I die alone, that's fine, because I still worship you in spirit and truth.
Yeah, because you will still preserve me. Okay? And like you, I think about being in the cave, and there's a great wind, and he thinks, okay, that's God. No, God was a still, small voice that just, it's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. God is the hare. He's always there. He just keeps going and going and going and loving and doing for us. And when we get weak, I think it's important to not look inside and say, why am I weak? It's important to say, God is great. I need to understand more about God.
When we think of people like Elijah, we think of him striking the river with his cloak and the waters parting.
Yeah.
Or going up in a chariot of fire. And that wasn't his life. Those were only moments. Those are snapshots, as you say.
Yeah. Yeah. Snapshots are great. But films say a lot more, don't they? And I think it's important for us to understand that. So we've got to understand God. That's the fuel. And we need to understand, or that's the heat source. And we need to understand our character. That's what God uses to make zeal. You have a heat source and you have wood, okay? The heat source needs the wood. And when you get them together in the presence of oxygen, then you get fire. And so, yeah, Bill.
The lifelong zeal, from the time I first believed, I believe, and that has never died. But I wasn't particularly zealous as a younger person. Now, it's grown into something else in my older age. And any time anyone gives me an open door, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to talk about them to God.
Okay.
I'm tell them, you need him. This is important in my life.
Yeah, but that's the point. You talk to them and say, you need God. You don't need me. You need God. And if you can tell them about God, then you've got the ultimate heat source that they're going to need. Now, he's going to use some character traits that he talks about here. I like the way he says it in that little inset section. We need courage. Without it, zeal becomes paralyzed. We need energy. Without it, zeal becomes worthless. We need diligence. Without it, zeal becomes disappointing. We need wisdom. Without it, zeal becomes deadly. We need love and service. Without it, zeal becomes selfish. So we need these character traits. These are things that we have to have. We're going to bring that to the situation. God is the heat source, and he's going to ignite our character. And that's how that works. Yeah, Carol.
I think the character thing is, well, I go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And then he says, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing, nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Does not unbecoming. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And then love never fails in verse 8. But it seems to me that loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul is what develops the character. And Leslie says, you have to know love, you have to know God in order to be able to love him that much.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's why you need to spend time reading about God and praying to God and reflecting on the things that God has done in your life. And we get so busy that we don't make time to reflect on God. I believe it was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do today that I shall have to arise at 4 o'clock in the morning so that I have time to pray to God about all the things that I need to do. And that kind of reveals an understanding that you've got to have God. And you've got to have this kind of character that God can use, that he can ignite. You can have all the heat in the world. If you have wet wood, it won't burn. Right? You ever tried to start a fire with wet wood? I have. It doesn't work. You have to have good character, and God can use that. And that's what we're going to bring to the fire, is our character. Yeah, Bill.
And exceptions. When Elijah and the 400 prophets of Baal were on top of the hill, and Elijah soaked the wood in the sacrifice of water, without God, there wouldn't have been any fire.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true. God can do amazing things.
And he's our fire.
Yes. That's true. That's true. And then, in terms of the environment where the fire happens, what we need is purity of heart. We need to be, as like Carol said, we love God with all our heart and soul and our mind, and we are totally devoted to him. That's a purity of character, or a purity of environment, that where God can build this fire that he wants to build. So, we're going to go through some of these questions. Now, some of these questions that he asked, this is a material that's really intended for you to reflect on personally. Okay? And so there are some questions that we're not going to ask in this setting, but you need to ask it of yourself as you reflect on these things. I'm not going to ask you, for instance, what's your greatest weakness? I'm not going to ask you that. That's for you to determine on your own. So we're not going to do all of the questions. Some of them are questions that you ask yourself. But I think this first question is an important one. What component do you think your zeal most needs? Is it God, the heat? Is it your character that God's going to ignite? Or is it purity, being totally devoted to God? How would you answer that question? What's the one that you need to develop most? You know, all of us have strengths and weaknesses. What do you think is the one that you need to develop the most? This is you personally, not mankind in general. You know, in my case, I think it's purity of heart. I can get so caught up in the things around me that I don't give God the environment where he can really make this zeal happen. I was a political science major when I first went to college as a young man, and I'm fascinated with politics. I mean, I'm the kind of guy who goes to the campaign headquarters on election night, and I stay there all night and I watch the returns come in because I'm excited about politics. Most people go to sleep when they think about that. Kim does. You know, she watches until about 10 o'clock, and then it's like, okay, tell me who won in the morning. And I want to analyze what's happening. Is this county going this way, or is that county going the other way? And I can get distracted by that. And when I get distracted by that, that's when my zeal starts to wane. Because I let myself get distracted by that. That's not to say that you don't need to be aware of the things that are going on around you. We do need to be aware, but we can get so many distractions in our life that it keeps us from having this kind of zeal. Yeah, Carol?
I'd say that as much as I feel like at times I have a servant's heart, that's probably where I'm the weakest in seeing something that needs to be done and not doing it, or making prayers at night and not following up on something else. I'd say that's probably where I have the most trouble.
Okay. Anybody else want to share? I know that this is personal. Yeah, Leslie.
I think mine would be God. The lack of love ingrained from a child is difficult to know that his love is for me.
Okay. Bill.
I need more of the Holy Spirit in me to make me better.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit is going to work on you. He's going to help you with essentially purity of character. I agree. It's important. Anybody else? One of the hardest times to maintain zeal, at least for me, is when a lot of things start happening. And I feel like I have to respond. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial issue. But whatever it is, those are the things that distract me. Not just politics, but those are the things that distract me and they pull me away. I don't think I have trouble doubting God's love and appreciating God's love. I just have trouble staying focused. Anybody else? Yeah, Dean.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out which one of those I fall into, probably two of them. Because my struggle is I get tired. So I have spent too much of my life running at a sprint, trying to meet the needs of all these things. And I get tired, and the first thing to suffer is the amount of effort that I put into this. So, but I don't know where that lands, if that lands in purity or if that lands in character, if it lands in both. So I don't know, I couldn't give you a one, but for me, that's really, I get so wrapped up in my responsibilities in the world. Honoring commitments, probably way too many commitments, that sometimes I just get tired, and so then you just stop. So that's the struggle that I deal with kind of on a daily basis. You know, you're tired, you don't feel good, and the easiest thing to eliminate is how much effort I put into you guys.
Yeah, it's true. More of us than we care to admit. We get too many things into our lives. And the things that come into our lives, that's not to say that they're bad. You know, a mother has to care for her children. And it's easy to let that distract us. And whether that's purity or whether it's character, I think I would put that into the category of purity. And I don't want to stand up here and say, look, you know, if you have to check your calendar three times a day to make sure that you're getting everything done that you're supposed to get done, you got too much stuff in your calendar. I'm not going to say that. But it's like Dean said, you know, when you have to run that hard and you can't take time, maybe purity is going to suffer. There's just not enough oxygen for God to use. Yeah.
When you get to that point, I believe that focus and priorities probably should be changed.
And sometimes God has a way of changing those priorities for you.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. You know, and I wish that we didn't have to let God change the priorities for us, but sometimes we do.
Yes.
Other thoughts? Yeah, Carol.
Well, I think in these times of troubles where we were too focused on this physical world and not on God, that's right when we need him the most. And the only way we're going to be able to put God back in at that particular time is Jesus, when he was always empty, he always went and prayed. He always concentrated on the word. And I think you have to prepare yourself, because you know you failed before. You need to prepare yourself. Maybe it's I can't memorize verses, but maybe you could write the verses on a card and just bring them out of the glove box and read a couple of them to fill yourself up when you're in need.
Yeah, there are a lot of tricks that we could use to keep us thinking about God. Yeah, Kim?
I think in my experiences, my issue is more of this environmental thing, this purity and having positive thing. When life is going well, it's easy for me to draw closer to God, to be more in touch with His love and His will in my life. And I think that I can build, based on that, build more of a Christ-like character. I think my goal is to live more and more Christ-like every day. But when things happen that are negative, I mean, just think of what has happened in our family this past week. What has happened in this spiritual family? I know you all love Melvin and Amelia and Mandy and Ted and Dean and I so much. I know that. So this has been a loss for you as well. But it's really hard to maintain that zeal, knowing full well how much God loves us. And I'm just kind of burying my heart here. But right now, I'm in a very low point. But I think that that low point comes from the negative things that are happening, that purity, that right there. And I'll get it back. We've been through horrible times before in our family, right? This church has been through, as a spiritual family, have been through some very difficult times. And I know that knowing God and knowing what He can do with sort of that igniting, and then our fuel source, that the source, the wood, if you will, that character that we need, and then that oxygen will be supplied again. But sometimes it's really difficult, and we can't sugarcoat it and placate it and say, you know, give all of the sort of the warm, fuzzy words that we know that we need to say, and look up all the verses, you know, take two scriptures and call me in the morning. Everything's going to be fine. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes when you're at your low point, it's very difficult to remain and to maintain the zealousness that God expects you to maintain. So I'm just being raw here. I'm very raw right now. And I'm just being very transparent and honest. I really suffer from this when that environment isn't pure, right? And it's negative. And I think we all do. If we're honest with ourselves, we all do.
Sure. And we've got to maintain. You can't lay the entirety of the blame on any one of these factors. You need the heat source, you need the combustible material, and you need the oxygen. You need all three. And sometimes you're a little bit distracted, and that's what's getting you. Sometimes your character lets you down, and so the wood is not there. And sometimes you forget about keeping God in the picture. Yeah, Carol.
It makes me think of different times when David cried out to God. Hmm. He just could not handle what was going on. And I think the one thing that I remember, I can't quote anything, but I remember, is that he just basically said, "Carry me. I need you to carry me through this." And sometimes I think we think, oh, we can do it. No, God needs to carry us, like the story of the footsteps on the sand. God needs to carry us sometimes. And if there's nothing to be ashamed of, just feel God's arms as much as you can.
Yeah.
And the prayers that are going for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the development of this material will proceed along steps that we can take to maintain this zeal. And he'll talk about seven steps that we can follow. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is we're going to lay out the seven steps, and then we're going to develop each one of those in particular as we go. Okay? I I want to conclude by saying I think what somebody said, what you need is prayer. That's what connects you back to your heat source. That's you and your character recognizing you need the heat source and not getting so distracted that you don't take time to pray. I can say unequivocally that whenever I have gotten so distracted that I didn't spend time with God in prayer, my zeal began to faint. It's easy to do, particularly when you're going to school and your character is tested, and you think, you know, I could cheat just a little bit here. I could use the internet to write this paper, and I could turn this paper in as if it was my own. That's not to say you can't use helps to get you thinking along a certain line or to help you organize your thoughts. I'm not saying that, but character can be tested. And it will be tested. And trust me, Satan will go after the weakest link in this three-sided fire illustration. He's not going to go after God. He's going to go after your relationship with God. And he will do that. So take some time this week. Pray about these things and give it some careful consideration. Try to understand where the weak link is. And that's going to be important to building this triangle that all the legs have to be there. So just remember to build your triangle and zeal will happen. Closing comments, questions, thoughts. Yeah.
As you say, it all kind of comes back to, I remember as a kid, we just had wood heat. And at 3 a.m, if you didn't get up and add wood to that fire, you wouldn't have it in the morning.
That's
right. Same idea.
You've got to get
up and, you know, add wood to the fire.
Yeah. It's a great blessing to live in a time when we have a gas-powered furnace. my grandfather... bless his heart, burned coal. Burned it in a big stove that sat in the middle of his house, and you had to tend that coal fire. Because if you didn't, it'd go out. And then it's really hard to get it started again. Once it goes out, it's a pain. But if you tend your fire, you can stay warm. And that's what we want.